I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Touching me, touching you, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. West Ham with a famous European win and Everton bagged a vital 3 points. It's Friday, 18th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. It's a Friday. It's a fabulous Friday, Jim Campbell, especially if you are a West Ham United fan.
Absolutely. Oh, strike me donuts. What an evening.
Oh, well, jelly me eels, Vish. Deary me. Well, I tell you something. Sometimes on a Friday, you're looking ahead to the weekend, and that's no different today. But we are going to look back on some of the stuff that happened last night,
yeah,
because there was plenty.
That was proper an East London pre-kend, that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Pre-kend.
I mean, maybe the best pre-kend I've ever had.
Yeah. And it's, of course, where we start. We're not going to start with the game that saw, you know, a vital 3 points for a relegation threatened side, which saw a broken hand, a 99th minute winner and a protest. No, we have to start with West Ham United, everybody. And I think you can forgive us for doing that. They make it to their first European quarterfinal since 1981, before you and I were born, Jim Campbell.
Mm.
So we've never seen this.
No.
In any kind of capacity, of course. Andrei Yarmolenko, of course, an emotional winner in extra time. You know, marvellous for him and marvellous for the club. But more than 59,000 fans packed inside that old London stadium. The biggest ever home attendance in the club's history. And this is the type of game, Vish, if I may say, that they're creating their own memories of the place. It felt like almost a kind of... I don't know. It was a very special night, of course, but for the first time, I think it felt like a bit of a fortress, the home West Ham United at the London Stadium.
Yeah, well, if you... I mentioned after the first leg that this was a chance for them to, I think I said, punch their ticket of... Everyone's talked about how the atmosphere has improved so much and, you know, this is the biggest opportunity to show that.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, I always think this about stadiums that are traditionally seen as hard places to go. Mm-hmm. I always, you know, as a United fan who grew up during the 90s, I always remember Highbury and even on TV finding that quite claustrophobic, just how everyone was falling over. And obviously modern stadiums have changed now. But
everyone,
it felt like...
Sorry, everyone was falling over?
Yeah, you know, kind of like falling over the edges.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it meant the players. I was like, doing the bad pitch.
But the thing about modern stadiums is you can actually get that kind of atmosphere provided you need to kind of buy in all the way around.
Yeah.
And that's what you got yesterday in West Ham. It felt like, oh, actually, those modern stadiums can be, you know, so emphatically partisan, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And the scenes at the end, just the fans... Obviously, you know, obviously staying behind, you know, whipping the shirts off and throwing them around their heads and just hugging each other, just the all of them doing this sort of the cross to the camera, just beautiful stuff, beautiful, beautiful stuff. That was what they were promised, right?
Yes.
This
yes.
is the thing. This is yeah. this is why it must be such an emotional release for West Ham. They were told that this was why they were moving to the stadium, that this was the sort of level they were going to be competing at, and it's taken them a long time to get there, but they have done it now. And that release of emotion is, I mean, it must feel absolutely incredible because... I think they got to the point where they thought it wasn't going to happen. They were fearing the worst. And now this team is fantastic. Such a joy to watch. So many characters in it. David Moyes is doing a brilliant job. This is some serious magician, bruv, as Colton Cole said about him in the post-match.
Him
with
and Joe Cole
and Jules.
With our very own Jules Breach. I mean, they're a great trio at any time.
They are.
That was
particularly,
awesome yesterday.
Particularly that time, of course. It has to be said. But you're right about the, you know, they were promised this and all that kind of stuff. And during the game, when that first goal went in, it almost was like a weight was lifted. Now, I know that wouldn't really make much sense, but there was something about those celebrations. It was like, yes, we've landed here. It felt very significant. It wasn't just your run-of-the-mill equaliser. It didn't even feel like, oh, yeah, now we've got them. It was kind of like, oh, now we've moved into our own space and we don't have to worry about what they're doing.
Yeah. Also, as well, the ball from Antonio to Socek was fantastic. Yes. Obviously, he buried it really, really well, as you'd expect him to with someone who's that good at heading the ball in that position. But, it was that they did it with some quality as well.
Mm.
And it really showed Sevilla that, like, you know, this is not going to go your way. Mm. You know, you're used to winning this competition, but, you know, you've not come up against us before.
Well, they are used to winning it. Because
shut up.
They've won it four times in the last eight seasons. So it shows you what a scout this is for West Ham.
Yeah, huge. And I thought they played it so smartly. I think the Antonio thing was perhaps a microcosm of that, because I've always thought with Antonio that he's someone who goes through the gears very well, but he can find it quite hard to go down a gear.
Yeah.
And the setup for that goal, the fact that it was a counter-attack that was about to peter out, and he takes it out wide, shows really good close control, whips it up with his left foot as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, Souček does the rest. I was so impressed with Fornals as well. I think he is someone who, particularly around that core of Souček and Rice, Declan Rice in the middle, Rice again, who was brilliant. I mean, I don't know how much more we can say about him, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Fornals, you know, the battling qualities with his undoubted, you know, footballing qualities were plain to see yesterday. Mm-hmm. Even someone like Lanzini, he wouldn't necessarily associate with the graft, was, you know, putting a shift in. And the other, I suppose more broadly, we were talking about how West Ham could fight on many different fronts. And the problem was always going to be their squad.
Mm.
And it always felt like there wasn't quite enough there to sustain a three-pronged or two-pronged attack on your season, or certainly being pulled two or three different ways. And here we are in the middle of March, they've bossed Sevilla over 120 minutes of this particular leg. Mm-hmm. And they did it so very well, not just getting the goal, the winning goal when they did, but the way they marshalled it after that. Antonio being in the corner and
absolutely sorting
it all out.
It was a very, very professional display. And it looked like the type of display and performance that a side who are used to those ties do. And
a performance that Sevilla would have been proud of.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah,
that comes from Moyes, though, doesn't it? And his experience and the way he's managed to translate that to them. You can see they're all pulling in the same direction.
I mean, Moyes, we've mentioned him, of course, in the context of
Manchester
United.
I'm not saying he's like a sort of European
But he's not had that much European. He's had a little bit, of course.
No, but he's been in the game a long, long time. He knows how to manage a game like that.
Maybe from afar, but I suppose, you know, he's not, you wouldn't necessarily see him as someone who is, well, I feel like he's maybe done a handful of European games, certainly like in a full season. Bear in mind, obviously, you know, Everton had that brief period where they were quite
well. Manchester United League. When he got to the quarterfinal.
Yeah, but again, yeah, very, very briefly.
True enough, yeah. Well, and even at the moment where it did look like Sevilla might score, I mean, Areola makes an incredible save.
Mm.
That's what he's there for. He's quite an underrated goalkeeper, I think, Areola. He was very, very good for Fulham, of course. But yes, Moyes, a typical Moyes fashion, he wants to keep his feet on the ground and said that West Ham are only at the start of their journey, that he wants to take them on. We are climbing a mountain, but we are at base camp at the moment, which is very David Moyes-esque. Mm. And we were slightly critical of West Ham, and I know one or two of their fans were in the January window, Jim, when they didn't sign anybody. We think, well, go on and push on for that fourth spot. Well, they said, no, there's another route to Champions League. And at the moment, they're well on course.
Yeah, you're right.
We don't know who they've got, of course, at the time of recording. It's a fair while before the draw will be made. There's some intriguing ties that it could be, but we won't talk or speculate on that, of course, because, as I say, by the time some of you have listened to this, you'll know the draw yourselves. And they face Spurs on Sunday. Big game in a race for the top four. So we shall see. But a glorious evening at the London Stadium. And again, just the scenes at full time. That's what it's all about, Fish. You know, those scenes and making those memories and blah-de, blah-de, blah. And it just gives everyone such a huge lift.
You do feel that beyond the Champions League, sometimes certain teams see European competitions as a bit of a nuisance.
Yeah.
And it's so good to see a team like West Ham not take it for granted and just, have nights like these. And I suppose it should be a message to everyone else. I mean, you know, we can also talk about Leicester City in the Conference League, which we'll go on to mention, I believe. But I feel like it really sets a tone for everyone, because I always wonder, you know, I suppose maybe not just me, but we always wonder in this country with regards to how we fare in European football. Mm. It never feels like, for example, Sevilla, and we talk about their Europa League heritage. It never feels like we talk about it in a way that is really fair to them. It's almost quite dismissive the way it's discussed. But if that was one of, you know, if that was an English team, that is something to celebrate. That's totally, certainly something people in Spain celebrate.
Mm.
And, you know, even yesterday, like, not being a West Ham fan, it was hard not to just, like,
Completely, absolutely. And this is the thing with, you know, qualifying for Europe is one thing and celebrating that at the end of the season. Mm. You've then got to make it count in the next season.
Yeah.
And so often we see teams fail to do that and they just get bombed out in the group stage or something. Or remember Moyes qualified for the Champions League with Everton and they didn't get through the qualifier with Villarreal a long time ago, which is heartbreaking for them. But West Ham have really, really capitalised on it. And the belief it's going to give them now, thinking, all right, we can come back and do this more. We can make ourselves part of the furniture.
Totally,
here.
We've all enjoyed it. And, you know, being a Fulham fan, I remember their, you know, very successful joint in the Europa League. It means a lot. And I think that's probably what UEFA have tried to do, because back in the day when you had the European Cup, when it was just the champions, then you had the UEFA Cup, you know, that meant things to people differently. Whereas, of course, with this mishmash, you kind of think, people are a bit snooty and so on. But actually, when you get some sides who are not used to European football, you know, take to it like a duck to water. Don't just feel like a second-string side like, you know, Pulis did with Stoke or whatever, you know, which was a bit of a shame. But anyway, without going on about that. But elsewhere in the Europa League, of course, Barcelona, they went through to the last eight after beating Galatasaray 2-1. Another goal for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Yeah. He's having a good time.
He is having a good time.
And it's seven goals and seven starts.
It's a good combination of man and city, isn't it?
Yes, it
was
it
always going to go well, I think.
Certainly at the beginning. We'll see how he gets on in a bit when he fancies a holiday. But yes, the Barcelona, do you know that the stadium is now called the Spotify Camp Nou?
Yes.
This is Spotify are going to sponsor their shirts as well. This is apparently a clause in the contract that allows Spotify to put the names of various singers in their place.
So why don't they do something different and, you know, during a match, every 10 minutes play an advert?
Maybe.
Yeah, every 100 passes.
Yeah. Okay. You know, you can't go backwards. You can't go backwards. No.
Oh, so is the shirt
a lot of long ball at the moment, Barcelona. Save a few quid.
Is the shirt thing going to be like, you know how the advertising boards in grounds are different in different countries?
Yeah.
Is the shirt place? This is a serious question. Is the placeholder going to be like that? Because like advertising artists from different parts of the world.
Oh, that's a very good point. I'm quite intrigued by this. We'll see how it gets. So, I mean, it is quite odd. I mean, who's, you know, going to have like
Ed Sheeran on the Barcelona shirts or something.
Well, the Atletico one, when they were sponsored by a production company, when they had the adverts for films coming up.
Yeah.
So there's a great shot with Fernando Torres running away, celebrating goal with Hellboy on his shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that. That
they started calling him that for a while, didn't they?
Did they?
He's like, it might be the most angelic footballer that's ever existed.
Well, it's one you least expect.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very true. By the way, apologies. I don't know why I said Ed Sheeran there. I could have, picked Bon Jovi, couldn't
everyone,
I?
Yeah,
I think Ed Sheeran's more likely to be advertised. Half the internet likes kicking Ed Sheeran at every opportunity, didn't they? So,
imagine
wait, what? You're saying the opposition that could, Ed Sheeran's up there, just start getting yellow cards, start voting. Imagine, there it is, straight away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just singing his songs, trying to get on with his life.
Ah, poor lad. He's definitely not poor. That's one thing we can agree. But yeah, so Spotify.
Still
involved...
dresses like it, though. Sorry, that was my go.
Apparently £280 million gets you a lot, though, if you want to sponsor Barcelona.
Yeah,
but there we are, yeah.
Pedri was something else last night. His goal, his equaliser, just sat everybody down like a strict teacher. It was fantastic.
Yeah,
but what a future he has.
By the way, if I made sort of... Well, it's still within the realm of football, but so off the pitch. The Malaysian football club, JDT, have announced a partnership with Universal Music and released an official club theme called Pioneers, sung by Snoop Dogg and Joe Flizzo. I think that's pronounced.
Yeah.
Sorry for sounding old, everybody, but, that's just my age. He's
quite old as well, to be fair. He's a Malaysian rapper not from yesteryear, because he's still around, but, he's not 20.
Yeah, okay, right, that makes me feel a bit better.
They should have got John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg and John Bond.
John Bon Jovi and Childish Gambino.
Pete and I front row. what more does anybody want? But back to Galatasaray versus Barcelona. See, Galatasaray fans, they set off fireworks outside Barcelona's hotel. That's classic stuff. You expect that from Galatasaray. They've got a reputation, those fans. Welcome to hell banners, all that sort of stuff. I didn't expect this from some of our Scandinavian brothers. FC Copenhagen fans tried to do the same outside the Radisson Blue to ruin PSV players' sleep ahead of their Conference League game. Bit surprised at that. I mean, it didn't work because they got the wrong hotel.
I don't understand why, when you go to those places where you know this is going to happen, why there isn't a bit more misdirection?
Yeah.
I know, obviously it's easy to, it's not like these are that far planned in the past that you couldn't just adjust and, is that, that is one of their players. We'll go over there and do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always wondered about that.
Well, there's a reason why they got the wrong hotel, because Mara Goetze, PSV won the game 4-0. Goetze got a couple, and he said after the game, excuse me, we placed the bus at the other hotel on purpose. I slept very well.
There you go.
This misdirection is in place.
Well, we spoke about this before.
Clubs have to like mitigate for terrible fan behavior.
Also, decoy buses. We've always said this, decoy buses.
You'd be fucking livid if you were staying in that other hotel.
I know, right?
Oh, the players here. No, the players aren't here. You won't get to meet anyone, but you will get a lot of noise at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So,
although, at the same time, right, if you're in a hotel and you're quite high up and there are fireworks going off just outside your window, that probably looks pretty cool, right?
Not at 3 a.m. Are you mad?
Oh, Jimmy, you have to remember, not everybody has your, social habits.
My lust for life, yeah.
Imagine if you're about...
Some people can sleep, is what you mean. Yeah.
Imagine about that hour in a hotel room, you probably, you haven't got... all your senses about you, depending on what you've done, maybe what you haven't done. Mm-hmm. And imagine seeing just like flashing lights at eye level. That's freaking you the hell out.
It was, yeah. Well, there we are. But Goetze and the boys slept well. They got a good win. Rangers have booked their place in the quarterfinal. Beat Red Star Belgrade 4-2 on aggregate, despite losing 2-1 on the night.
That was an intense game
wasn't it? Well, you expect that from old Zvezda, don't you? It's the furthest they've gone in Europe since, of course, they reached the UEFA Cup final in 2008.
It's all going off. It was all going off
much
yesterday.
Like those fireworks.
Absolutely, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, Rangers, it was, Zvezda scored early on after, 10 minutes or something like that, and you thought to yourself, oh, hang on, this could be a very long night. But it was, again, speaking of, rode their luck at times, but also kind of rode it out as well. And Alan McGregor, I mean, the man, in the domestic football, he has made the odd error this season. Whereas in Europe, he seems to be 10 years younger. He's phenomenal performance again from him.
Well, in Europe, you go to warmer places and they say older people do a little bit better.
His bones and his
bit more
subtle.
It's just a bit looser, more supple.
He's taking his cod liver oil.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's what it is. They just douse him in the stuff. Have another cod liver oil bath.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. And he's away.
Yeah. It's not an ice bath at that point. It's cod liver oil and Werther's original.
Imagine the smell. The absolute stench.
Oh, Alan's coming.
Yeah. Get into the box. Oh, God, what is that? Puts you right off.
Maybe that's what it is.
Gives him an extra yard.
But they got
saves a penalty. People jump to hug and slip right off.
Yeah, he has to, amazing that that's why he's got to get the hands on the ball, because that's why he slipped off his arm last night, didn't he? He made a good double save. That's what it was about. But then Ryan Kent got the equaliser on the night. And that was a vital goal. And his pace is such an asset for them.
Yeah.
He can be a bit hectic, and he's a very enjoyable player to watch. But that goal, the drive, a bit fortunate with the deflection, I would have quite fancied it to go in anyway, but a vital one that settled the nerves and the tie, really.
They just have a method, don't they? It's really clear. Everyone knows exactly the roles they're going to fulfil. Mm. I think someone who has really come to the fore, especially in this European campaign, is John Lindstrom.
Mm.
Like someone who primarily operates deep in midfield, who's played centre back, he's, you know, filled out wide. Mm-hmm. In the game I covered against Dortmund in that second leg, he started in midfield, then he dropped back into into that back three when mm-hmm. they went to a five at the back. Even yesterday, he was like bursting through from deep, and mm-hmm. you know, if not trying to start attacks, then certainly getting the ball as far away from their own goal as possible. The timing of that Belgrade goal panics me a little bit. Yeah, somebody wanted Rangers to go through.
Sure, yeah. I mean, obviously they won 2-1, but it was a very late penalty and it didn't really matter at all at the end. But a good win for the Jers, and they've gone one step further than they did under Gerrard. Gerrard got them twice, of course, to this stage in the Europa League, but Van Bronckhorst has got them into the quarterfinal. Excuse me. Leicester City, let's talk about the Conference League, the Europa Conference League. They progressed to the last eight, of course, losing 2-1 to Rennes on the night, but winning 3-2 an aggregate. I think that's a brilliant win for Leicester. Well, I think that it is a brilliant win for Leicester. I mean, Andy Brassel talked about Rennes and how they've been playing some nice stuff in the French league. 2-0, they took that lead. The late goal in Leicester proves very, very crucial. But the atmosphere in that ground, again, speaking of about teams taking to these European competitions and really, really relishing and enjoying it, Rennes, the atmosphere was quite something. They get a fairly early goal in the ties where you worry for Leicester. And Leicester had a couple of chances. And then Fofana returning. We haven't seen him this season because he broke his leg in a pre-season friendly. An incredible return. Much anticipated, of course. It was a little bit of a surprise that he was in the lineup for some. But he nodded in the goal. He looked delighted when he scored going over. A big hug for brother Brendy and all that sort of stuff. So and that goal was ultimately the one that clinched it. But late on in the game when Rennes got 2-1, they were bombarded. Kasper Schmeichel made a brilliant save towards the end, which was absolutely vital. But then, at the end of the game, there was a bit of controversy. Well, I mean, not really. According to Rennes, there was, because they appealed for handball and the referee blew up for the final whistle.
Yeah.
The end of the game. And then they were shouting for handball that came off Dewsbury Hall's arm. I mean, it was never a penalty in a million years, for crying loud. But there was a bit of a ruckus at the end of the game.
If it was your team, you'd want it checked, though, wouldn't you?
I don't know the rules on that, actually, with regards to can you check after a full-time whistle or not. But the right decision was made. Because I did think, because the way the referee just went, no, and he just wasn't having any of it. And I thought, let's just see the replay
Absolutely. He was so confident, though, wasn't he?
He was.
That he must have got a good look at it.
Well, yes. But again, though, if you're a Rennes fan, you wouldn't be having any of that. But Leicester go on. And again, don't know the draw, but they've got to be looking at this. You know, you look at the teams in there, no matter who they get, they've got a chance. And another side will be thinking the same thing is Jose Mourinho's Roma, who went through thanks to a stoppage time equaliser from Tammy Abraham on the night, which put them through 2-1 on aggregate. A vital goal from Tammy that sends Mourinho. And, he couldn't.
How would he be? How do you reckon he would feel after a late winner, as it was?
Uh-huh.
Do you think he wouldn't really take pot shots at anyone else, would he?
Well,
he'd probably enjoy the moment.
Yeah, you enjoy
it?
The moment for yourself. You would, European, wouldn't you? Night, don't
yeah,
you?
And you know the team and the city. You know the half of the city that you've played for. Wouldn't
yes, you?
You
would. You'd think that, and you think you might mention.
He didn't, did he?
No, he didn't. No, he's gone full shithouse Mourinho straight from the off with this job, and very much last night was the case. Because he said ahead of the weekend's Rome derby, we're here playing in Europe while Lazio are at home smoking with Sarri.
If I had scripted what he was going to say, that's not far off from what I'd have said.
That's exactly what you would have said.
Yeah. It's just brilliant, Jim. He's played.
Oh, you could script it.
Are these instant classics, or are these the old hits he's playing? Do you think?
It's like a remix album of the hits, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like he's doing the hits, but in like he's rejigged it a bit.
Yeah, but he's going pettier.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. There's a freshness. There's an element of freshness to it, but it is kind of what we hoped and expected.
It's the using of Sarri's vice.
Yeah.
As like in a belittling way, a vice that Sarri, you know, wholeheartedly assumes, and you know, he clearly does. It's no slight on his personality, but he's using it that way. And I don't know why I find it so funny that they have to go to Sarri's house to smoke.
Yeah. Exactly,
fucking losers smoking at his house.
I think this is.
Imagine the wallpaper. Yeah.
Don't throw that away. You can chew that. Put it in the bowl with the rest of them.
Oh my god, yeah, that's probably what the wallpaper is.
Oh, dear me.
What do you mean? Like it was like Pete when he was in that salt mine, just licking the walls.
Get your hit off that. Anyway, we mentioned Tammy Abraham. He's in Gareth Southgate's England squad.
Yay.
Yesterday, the announcement was made for the friendlies against Switzerland and Ivory Coast at the end of the month. Mark Gay was called up for the first time, of course, Crystal Palace man. Which is big news for him. His teammate Conor Gallagher has been recalled. Michael Olise has been called up to France under 21s, though. Fish, you're a big fan of his. There's a lot of competition in the places he's looking at in England, but I mean, there's also a lot of competition with France. Yeah. Maybe even
more so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, it's a big choice for him to make, but he's gone for France under 21s. It's because England lost Zaha, despite Zaha making a couple of appearances for England, of course, in friendly matches. And he can still play for England because I think it's before, by the age of 21, you can play three times or something like that as Ireland, right? Declan Rice, no. Would you be disappointed if Elisa doesn't play for England in the future?
Like, disappointed from a talent level, yeah.
I know, from your point of view as a fan. Yeah. You're not talking about him and what he feels as an individual.
Yeah, yeah. No, I actually think the whole situation is quite cool.
Mm.
Imagine like being able to choose, but like reasonably. Like, mm-hmm. So France won you, or England won you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I suppose the interesting thing I think, and it, you know, it's been covered before, Miguel Delaney has written a lot about this, but the choices,
and he would know, being of Spanish and Irish.
Yeah. But the choices the players have now, because of things like immigration and because of how, I suppose, kind of multicultural different countries have become, I think it's a really interesting dynamic and a challenge that players in the past haven't been used to. And I'm always quite impressed in the way that these young players deal with those situations, because it requires a lot of maturity that. Maturity from a sense that the decision you make impacts so many other people who have a vested interest in what you do on the field. Mm. So, it'd be pretty cool to see him. If he goes on and becomes a star for France, I mean,
that's incredible.
Either way, he would have become a remarkable player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I that's a very good point.
Maybe that's what he's looked at, you know, that actually the moment England are in, forcing your way into either side is going to be really, really difficult. So it might be like risk versus reward, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you've got to go on this really, really tough path anyway. Mm-hmm. France are probably more likely to win.
Yeah.
You know, win international trophies. So maybe that's his thinking. Jamal Musiala had the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still annoyed that Erling Haaland isn't playing for England. But
Fabio Carvalho, the Fulham man, has been snapped up by Andy's lot.
Yeah. See, that's a really interesting
exactly.
one.
It's happening all over the
shop. That's Portugal, by the way.
Wimbledon.
Yeah, it was one of three. It was Portugal, Wimbledon, or Turkey. Sorry, four. The LA Clippers.
Sevilla as well,
yeah.
And Leon. Jared Bowen is not in the England squad. He is out injured.
It's unfortunate, isn't it? Terrible timing.
I'm not sure he would have been called up or not. I don't know what the chat was around that. But we know that Marcus Rashford and Jadon Sancho have been left out. Rashford's not been playing that much. But Southgate knows Rashford and he knows Sancho.
Rashford has also pulled out of six of the last eight squads, which is, you know, surprising.
Yeah, apparently Trent Alexander-Arnold's out injured as well. And Kyle Walker has lost his place. But again, we've seen Southgate do that with Walker.
And
he's
said with Walker that he's been very public about how we're bringing back in the summer, and it's just to have a look at other players. He doesn't always do that, does he? But
indeed,
I think Walker's place is safe.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Well, nearly international football. Come on!
Do we want to... I know he's become a topic for a long time because he's not been playing very well, but Mark, as you said, and you know, you're steadfast in your belief that Harry Maguire would make the squad. He has made the squad.
And he'll start.
Yeah, he probably will start.
Pickford will start as well, despite your best efforts.
It's not my best efforts. It's just the truth, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely the truth.
But the thing I find interesting, though, is Gay's call-up is off the back of form. Tomori.
Ah, yes. Yeah, we were talking about this pre-show.
Because he's obviously keeping tabs on... Yeah. Obviously, they play different positions, but he's obviously keeping tabs on Serie A because Tammy's in.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows... A little bit surprised.
He knows Abraham, of course, a little bit better, having been in England squads before. But Tomori's been in, played for England as well.
Well, Gay's an interesting one because I think Gay is now the sixth player since that under-17 World Cup winning team who've made it into the senior side as well.
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. I think Tomori should perhaps be a little bit disappointed. Maybe there's a conversation there. I don't know. We don't.
Yeah, that's true.
We're not privy to all this kind of stuff. But certainly Milan are on for, you know, going for the title, and he's playing well over there. So yes, he's been overlooked. But there we are. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome to Eureka, the show that gets under the skin of science, in a good way. I'm Rick Edwards.
And I'm Dr. Michael Brooks.
Not the kind of doctor who'd be able to help much if you were having like a heart attack. But if you're wondering about quantum physics or the theory of matter, he's your man.
Well, probably.
Every week we're asking a new, puzzling question from the world of science and discovering the answer with the help of a world-leading expert.
Like, will we ever talk to animals?
They are definitely talking. You know, that's, again, a word that I would qualify because we usually mean that vocally. But in their own ways, they're talking to us every single day.
Are face transplants the future of cosmetic surgery?
Given that range of what's considered attractive, there's probably no point wanting to change your face to be more attractive if you follow science. And should we fear an alien invasion?
If an imperialistic drive brings other civilizations to us, then obviously it's not good news. But if it's scientific exploration, it may be good news.
If you're interested in learning a little bit more about the weird, magnificent world around us, then this is the show for you. Eureka. Subscribe now and find us on Twitter at EurekaPod. New episodes every Wednesday.
Eureka is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Yo, what's up, everybody? What a beautiful day. Listen, someone just sent me the Marcus Rashford video where he confronted the fans because the fans were digging him out and he offered one of them out. But like, Marcus, stand your ground, bro. You just do your stuff, get back to where you need to be, bro, where you're playing. Fuck them fans, bro. Everybody, have a nice day, man.
Oh, well, I love him so much.
Welcome back.
I can't bear it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Ian, we couldn't agree more. Right, it's time for emails.
Yes, show at footballramble.com indeed. Jack Goodman has slid into the inbox. He says, hello, Ramblers. Not a subject I ever expected to be emailing about, but here we are. Can't believe you didn't include Leeds United in your attractive squads discussion. Ooh. Robin Koch and his cheekbones, Calvin Phillips and his smile, classically handsome Patrick Bamford, absolute athlete Jack Harrison, tall, moody Pascal the Rascal Strick. And if they aren't enough, just listen to Elian Meslier's voice, although you might need a cold shower afterwards to calm down. All that with stupid sexy Jesse in charge too. You know it makes sense. And you know what, Jack? It does make sense. You're absolutely right. That's such an oversight.
Yeah.
I think you nail on head there.
I think Rafinha, the way he plays.
Yes.
The way he looks. True. He's got that sex
appeal. Even there was something quite sexy about Bielsa.
Yeah.
Go on.
Is there?
Can you... Well, he's never thought I'd say this, but I'd like to hear more from Fish.
Glasses, intellectual.
Yeah.
He's
not there anymore. It doesn't count.
He's obviously got very powerful legs and glutes.
He looks like, because of that, that he's just watching.
Oh, Gordon.
Do you know what I mean? That's the
Gordon.
That's what comes to mind to me there, Bish. Yeah, it says a lot about you.
Show at footballramble.com.
Yeah, and you can just perch anywhere, can't you?
Well, exactly, yeah. For ages.
Yeah.
So you guys knock yourselves out. I'll just be here.
Yeah. Well, we know you can watch two videos at the same time. as the old. Anyway, yes, show at footballramble.com. Let's talk about what happened in the Premier League last night. It seems remarkable that we did a whole first half of the podcast there, but there was so much juicy Europa League and Europa Conference League action that now, finally, we talk about Everton 1, Newcastle United 0. Alex Iwobi scoring in the 99th minute to give Everton a vital win in the relegation scrap. They're 3 points above Watford, with two games in hand now. Speaking of hands, Frank Lampard broke one of his celebrating Everton's winner, but he said he would suffer one every week if it meant they kept on winning. I just connected with something. I realised 2 minutes later my hand was shaking and aching, and when he was asked how many more broken bones he was prepared to take for the rest of the season, Lamps replied, they can take one every game if they want. Aha! No, but seriously, I will be heading to A&E shortly. I do, like, don't say, oh, they can take one every week. It's like, if they win... Duncan Ferguson. Right, Frank.
Yeah.
Stay through your word.
And look, taking as well, not breaking.
Yeah.
Taking.
What
one.
We're going for today. He'd be like he looked like an Egyptian mummy by the end of the season.
You know what? I'm feeling quite big. Let's take the femur. Yeah? Let's take the femur, Frank.
Oh, dear. But what scenes, though, at the end of the game, Vish, when Iwobi scored? We were a little bit disappointed with his celebration, were we not?
What's the opposite of ASMR? Because that's what that celebration was to me. I was waiting for him to jump in the crowd, and it was so unsatisfying. I don't know what... There's probably a sexual term for it. There always is for these things. But it was just... I'm cringing now thinking about it. Not cringing because, you know, on his behalf, but like internally there is a deep dissatisfaction there that I can't shake.
Yeah. Is it because he's got his celebration and he's...
No, I don't mind that. It's just the stopping.
But that's what I mean, though. I mean, more from his point of view, he's like he's forgotten about the emotion and gone, oh, I've got something for this. I've got my celebration. I'll do my sort of practiced, rehearsed celebration.
It's not necessarily that, although I don't mind the rehearsed celebration. I mean, it depends what it is.
If he got like a, if his rehearsed celebration was a fucking great big brass band coming out. Would love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like the Colombians at the World Cup when they were going this way, that way. Yeah. So, yeah, I've had a bit of that. Yeah, totally. But I just felt, like you said, you used the word jarring. It felt, I don't know, like you're watching, I don't know, you're watching a surfer, like a massive wave comes along, and as they go to go down, they just hang in the air and stop. And you know, you're like, those, no, you've interrupted the flow of what's going on there.
You know those TikTok videos where it's like man jumps, you know, does a 7-box jump in the gym.
Yeah.
And it's the whole video is just him like preparing to jump. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And you never actually see the jump. Yeah.
Here's how to dress your own wound. Don't listen to TikTok. Don't stop that.
Oh dear.
And the man that tied his own neck to the post. There's a lot of jumping in yesterday.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, let's deal with Alan first.
Imagine if it Wobie, how funny it would be if Wobie celebrated by attaching himself to the post.
That would have been, yeah, just hugging the post. He missed an absolute trick there.
He did. Yeah, he
just
really
running
did.
Up and hugging it. Well, let's get the red card out of the way, if we may, quickly.
Yeah.
Sent off, of course, for a terrible foul. It looked like his intention was very much to take a booking for the team, a la Wayne Rooney at Old Trafford that time, when he thought, oh, I've seen players do this, yeah, I'll just boot him. Like, no, you need to have a little bit more craft than that. Yeah. Did you think it was a red card, Vish? Do you think it was a bit harsh?
I did, actually. I dislike those fouls anyway. Yeah. Like, clearly, there's no intention of getting them ball. But as you pointed out, there is a way of doing that that doesn't put the guy you're fouling into that much danger, I suppose.
Because that is essentially like kicking someone off the ball, almost.
He took out. If you watch it again, he takes out both his feet
from behind. As
yeah,
well.
He takes out his left foot first, then he takes out his right foot.
I'm happy for that.
Both
to
feet
be
off the ground.
Off, to
yeah,
be perfectly honest,
don't do that again.
Yeah,
that's what. People always, obviously, that it has an in-game consequence. But the broader picture is to stop people doing shit like that.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
So I don't have any problem with either decision. Yeah.
Right enough. And obviously, down to 10 men, not for that much of the game, of course. Newcastle probably had the better of the chances, you might say. It's disappointing for them; they didn't even get a point. But yes, there was a protester who tied his neck to one of the goalposts. It was the second Just Stop Oil protest in the space of 2 nights. So that's they're the people that are doing this.
And the first one was at Arsenal.
Yes,
yeah.
And he didn't manage to tie himself to the post. And we thought it was a protest, but it wasn't clear what it was about. This one, obviously, the message got a lot, was seen a lot more clearly. Yeah.
It's not the first time at Goodison Park we've seen a protest like this. Do you remember? I can't remember what it was for. It was a guy who tied himself to the post. It was a number of years ago now. Perhaps people remember that. But anyway, obviously there was this one last night. The one of the most enjoyable things of last night was that man who went absolutely at it with a pair of pliers in his face. You've all seen this on social media. The man's face grinning away like he's up to some absolutely no good act, and yet he's getting an enormous pleasure from it.
Yeah,
but he is just, I assume, just using a pair of pliers to get the bolt off.
On top of that,
there looked like there was an enormous amount of horrible pleasure going on.
Yeah, he was really putting his, giving that his all, wasn't he? And then on top of that, you had the Everton fan who got tired of the delay, ran out of the fans, punched the protester, then got taken away by stewards, and was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help.
Well, yeah.
Let's punch him out of this. Yeah.
Well, the protesters arrested on suspicion of pitch encroachment.
Suspicion.
You have to use that word, apparently. The second chap that you've just talked about there was arrested on suspicion of pitch encroachment and assault. You're getting investigated for more stuff than the bloke who held it all up.
Idiot. How was the game?
Well, I don't know if I'll be asked back.
Yeah.
But I think I helped the situation.
Someone tied themselves to the post. Yeah, big delay. So why are you home early? Well, so I ran on and punched him in the face.
Someone had to punch him.
Amazing.
Ridiculous.
Amazing.
Eddie Howe said of this incident post-match, I've never seen anything like that. It was a big delay. I'm not using it as an excuse, but I don't know if it affected us because certainly we weren't the same team in the second half.
Yeah. You know what? I think we're going to see more of these because I've done a little bit of reading around the campaign and the guy who tied himself to the post was talking about how my generation has no future according to everything everyone's saying. And we're terrified and no one seems to care. And, we're a bit older, a bit longer in the tooth, so maybe it's easier to kind of employ that cognitive dissonance, but there are a lot of terrified young people out there.
And
again, there's a lot of people have just been like, the cable tie's made of oil, yeah? Checkmate, argument over. Just keep using oil. Uh-huh. And it's, I guess that maybe this is the wrong audience for it because people are just going to go, get on with it. But we're going to see more of this, I suppose. People need to get that out, or feel that they need to get the message out there.
Well, I just want Eddie Howe to be asked more non-football-y questions.
Absolutely.
See what he says.
Yeah, let's make oil his fault as well.
Anyway, an incredible end to the game. An incredible moment that was in the game, my goodness. But Everton got a vital win and they faced Crystal Palace in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup very, very soon, of course. And it is the business end of the FA Cup this weekend. Quite incredibly, on Wednesday this week, it was 150 years to the day since the first FA Cup final. Marvellous stuff. Wanderers defeated Royal Engineers 1-0 in front of 2,000 people at the Oval. I'm sure none of us could possibly remember. But yeah, apparently Engineers started with seven forwards that day, Vish. You see, football, it's not as good as it used to be.
To be fair, when United are behind in the last few minutes, they often have seven forwards on.
What I find funny is seven forwards and yet they only won 1-0.
Yeah.
Presumably, did they still have seven forwards with the last 10 minutes or like 5 minutes?
Maybe they just got in each other's way. I was standing here. Hey. I'm the one who runs to the near post. You run slightly less to the near post, closer to the VAR post.
Ooh, harumph. That's my spot.
Yeah.
Are they tracking back? That's what I want to know. But yes, let us fast forward.
They were
to
all shorter back then as well, weren't they? So you can launch it forward.
Exactly. I do want to point out the only goal was scored by a man called Morton Betts, but he played under a pseudonym of A.H. Checker. Why?
Maybe he shouldn't have been there.
I don't know. But there's a book for Jonathan Wilson around
Absolutely.
This, I'm sure.
A lot of stuff has been written on this, especially from a cricket perspective, because it was at the Oval.
Yeah.
So
always bring in cricket, aren't you?
Yeah, just trying to lighten the mood.
He is a man of the bat. this Saturday, tomorrow even, we could say, Borough versus Chelsea. Middlesbrough could bag another Premier League scalp because they've got ones that are Manchester United and Spurs, of course, on their way to this quarterfinal. Can they do it? They have an extremely unfair advantage, of course, with all those fans in their own stadium, which is disgusting. I think we can all agree.
Not in the spirit of football, is it?
Yeah,
that sort of unfair.
Just question the integrity of this game.
If you like sport and integrity, don't tune in for that one. So the squad, Chelsea squad, have been cleared to fly for the fixture after it was thought they would have to take the coach. So that's good news. Joe Cole. Aforementioned Joe Cole said that Thomas Tuchel should be Prime Minister for the way he steered Chelsea lately.
He is a good pundit,
but
I do think football is probably his sphere, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I think we can all agree.
I think if you look at the way the current guy is doing it, Thomas Tuchel would be
that great. Good point, actually.
I think Joe Cole could do a decent job as Prime Minister.
Indeed. Apparently there's 3,000 extra tickets available for Middlesbrough fans for this game. So good to know that they go into good homes or people. Armand Martin, who of course asked us what you should do. Maybe he's one of the 3,000 that got one of those extra tickets. We certainly hope so, Martin. Do get in touch. Elsewhere in the FA Cup, Nottingham Forest versus Liverpool is on Sunday. It's the first time these two sides have faced each other since 1999. And quite poignantly, the special resonance in this fixture. It's the first time they've met in the FA Cup since that semi-final replay following the Hillsborough disaster in 1989. The Forest, though, themselves have been on a brilliant run. They've beaten Arsenal and Leicester and Huddersfield to get this far. And it's going to be a special game, Jim, because when they beat Arsenal and Leicester, we thought, oh, are they going to fall to Huddersfield? Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those sort of classic things. But they didn't, and they're playing Liverpool, and it's a big game. You would fancy Liverpool for
it. You would.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, isn't it? Forest have got nothing to lose. They've done so well getting this far.
What are you talking about lose? Go out the cup. That's what they've got to lose.
Well, indeed. But in terms of expectation, they can just try and enjoy this game as much as possible. Their fans have been fantastic, generally. Mm. So they're all going to be so up for this. Just try and get at Liverpool early. You know, like, the problem with Liverpool is they can solve any problem that's put in front of them, essentially, can't they?
That is
a
problem.
You know, go for it, Forrest. Why not?
Why the bloody hell not? Well, we mentioned Trent Alexander-Arnold. He's out with a hamstring problem. But speaking of right-backs, Forrest's own right-back, old Spence, has drawn a lot of praise for his performances. Bayern Munich have reportedly started discussions over signing him. That would be an interesting one. I mean, of course, Matty Cash was former Forrest man, so...
Yeah.
Is this the sort of an Arsene Wenger type production line of fullbacks going on there?
It's another one for England's team of right backs as well, isn't it?
Did you see his scorcher in the week?
Oh, yes, lovely one.
Yeah, brilliant goal. Gets the ball like quite centrally from about 30 yards and bends it into the top corner.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah,
he's a good quality player.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll let's see if he does another one of them against Liverpool. On Sunday, Nathan Redmond and Pep Guardiola will be reunited as Southampton host Manchester City on Sunday afternoon. Pep Guardiola, he can always channel his unhappiness in another way. that not just like having a go at Nathan Redmond. He can maybe take a leaf out of Oldham manager John Sheridan's book, because he shocked Swindon fans when he stuck his middle finger up at them as he left the pitch quite recently. They just conceded a 96 minute winner, and he did manage Swindon last season and got them relegated, and said of the matter, "I'm not bothered about 6,000 fans shouting at me. I've got a lot more about me," which no doubt would have pleased Ian Wright.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the spirit of that. So I don't think we'll see Pep do that.
So you think Pep might flip off the Southampton?
No, I don't think he will. I think that if Man City lose, then he'll do that menacing smile of, "Oh, we were brilliant today, yeah, weren't we?
The best performance we've ever had."
Exactly. Yeah. And then if they win, that gives him carte blanche to praise Southampton and Redmond and everybody and just say, "Oh, they're just such a wonderful team. They're the best team we've played ever in this competition.
Jan Bednarak is better than Beckenbauer."
And they're as good as Royal Engineers or something, you know, that kind of chat. So we look forward to it indeed.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, it's time for Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. In Game 1, Crystal Palace versus Everton on Sunday at 12:30. Vish, who have you picked?
I picked Conor Gallagher.
Okay.
In the England squad, Everton a bit tired from their exploits on Thursday.
Yeah.
And, energetic man from midfield, bursting late, scoring goal. Works for me.
Love that, love that. And Game 2, Leicester City versus Brentford, Sunday at 2 p.m. Jim, who have you picked?
I have gone for James Maddison in solidarity with other Jameses.
Like it, like it. Game 3 is Southampton versus Manchester City, Sunday at 3 p.m. Luke Moore had this to say.
Hello, everyone. And before I give you my 4 to Score selection for this week, I need to clear up a small piece of admin. There are those of you out there who think I'm not on Friday's show because I'm running scared, trying to protect my championship, my Luke's game / Marcus's game championship. That's not the case. I'm not in charge of the schedule. I'm here. I'm ready to fight anytime someone wants to put me on a Friday show. But for now, I'm not on this week, but I will offer you my 4 to Score selection. And the game I've been given is Southampton versus Man City in the FA Cup. And I think, obviously, I'm not going to go for a Southampton player. I've got my reputation to think about. I'm going to go for a Man City player. I'm going to go for Raheem Sterling. I fancy him to open the scoring and probably get Man City on their way to a semi-final berth. Enjoy the football this weekend. Speak soon.
Now, Luke's often had a dig at Andy Brassel for long voice notes. That was 50 seconds long.
How many seconds is that, Marcus?
I think that was about 15.
Not too bad. Well done, Andy. A mere 31 seconds from Andy. Huge improvement. But more importantly, Andy Brassel has delivered a voice note in under 15 seconds. Incredible scenes. Whatever happens now, we are the true winners here. Thank you very much, Andy. You absolute windbag. 44 seconds, that was. To pick a player.
44 seconds.
God, imagine a guy in about 44 seconds.
I know, hey, that mad.
He says he wasn't on the show. He basically was, wasn't he, now?
Busy show today as well.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah.
Thanks for popping in, Luke.
In Game 4, Spurs versus West Ham on Sunday at 4:30, I have picked Song Heung-min to get the first goal. So there we are, Game 1, Palace versus Everton. Vish has gone for Conor Gallagher. Leicester City versus Brentford in Game 2. Jim's picked James Maddison in Game 3. Southampton versus Manchester City. Luke picked Raheem Sterling. And in Game 4, Spurs versus West Ham, I have gone for Son Heung-min. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play for free at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. Got to be over 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. Right, everybody, it's now time for this.
Gordon Bennett.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Hello, everybody. It's time for Marcus's game. Ooh. You're a fan of Marcus's game, Jim, aren't
I
you?
I am. Yeah.
Vish, if
just fucking hurry up. Put your key in the lock. Put your fob on the end.
Oh, nice. I like you. Yeah, you've modernised it.
Put whatever through the letterbox and just let us go.
The fob is nearly on the money, everybody. The weekend is just moments away.
Fob is nearly on the money. That one is not going to take off.
I don't think any of it should take off, Jim. And that's me saying that. But anyway, we know the rules. It's Marcus's game. We're doing managers. If they have managed an international team, it counts. If they've managed interim, if they've been interim, if they've been caretaker, all that kind of stuff, it all counts. But we're not interested in under-21s or B-sides and any other muggy little things like that. OK, gentlemen, my senses tell me that Jim should begin. We've got the first manager, Jimmy Baby, still managing. He's managed five teams. His name is Chris Wilder.
OK.
Yes. Chrissy Wilder. We get wild, wild, wilder. Can I have a bid, Jim? Five teams. What five are you going to go for?
I feel like there's a really obvious one I'm missing.
What are you going for, bruv?
I'm just going to go two.
It's going to go two. Yeah.
I might as well go three.
Yeah, might as well go three, because you know Jim's going to get two. Vish, is that your thinking, Jim?
Yeah.
Can I hear four from you? I didn't think so. Okay, then, Vatoosh, can you name three teams that Chris Wilder has managed?
Sheffield United, Middlesbrough, Stab in the Dark, Barnsley.
Yeah, I'm afraid not, Sam. I'm afraid not. That was a tricky one. Halifax Town, Oxford United, Northampton Town, Sheffield United, Middlesbrough.
Yeah, there wasn't an obvious one.
Yeah.
No, there was not an obvious one. It is 1-0 to Jim Campbell. Vish, you're up first. This man has managed nine teams. It's Howard Kendall. Oh. One for the elder ones. Not looking so smug now. Look at me, I'm still in my mid-30s.
I don't know anything about Howard Kendall. He had a mint cake named after him, didn't he?
Well, actually, I didn't know that.
No, he didn't. It's from the place.
Oh, okay.
fucking hell.
Come on, Bruvnik.
No, because people are going to be annoyed, aren't they?
Why are they going to be annoyed?
Oh, you don't know about Howard Kendall.
Who's going to be annoyed at you?
People who do the accent I just did.
Stop stalling.
So, no one.
Oh, okay.
Nine teams.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Go on, who have you got? What's your bid?
Three.
Three? Jim.
I'm going to make your name known.
Yeah.
Nice prick.
Your tone of voice gave you away. But it could be a bluff. It could be a glorious bluff. Vish. Three teams that Howard Kendall has managed.
Leeds.
It's 2-0 to Jim. He's never managed Leeds United. You both look shocked at that.
No, I'm surprised that you went with Leeds, because they crossed my mind. I thought, no.
Howard Wilkinson.
A couple of obvious... Are you thinking Howard Wilkinson the whole time?
Yeah, but I had Everton. Howard Kendall was Everton. Yeah,
he never had a film about him either, because that was Howard the Famous Duck. Okay, know your Howards.
What the hell are you talking about?
I'm just mentioning old references. Jim knows. He managed Blackburn Rovers. Everton.
Oh, I did know that.
Everton.
I had Everton.
Right.
Yeah.
Athletic Bilbao, quite famously.
Yeah.
Manchester City, went back to Everton.
One.
Then he managed Zante in Greece, I think that's pronounced. Notts County, Sheffield United, went back to Everton again.
Actually, I should have known a few of those, actually. That's shambles.
Ethnikos Piraeus, which is probably not how you pronounce that one, was his final club.
I had Everton and Man City, and I guess that Sheffield Wednesday, so I would have lost.
You would have. But you didn't. You're 2-0 up. 2-0 up, and it's all to play for. All to play for. Now then, Jim, you're up first.
Mm-hmm.
Can you win? All you've got to do is tell me how many of 11 sides Felix Magath coached, and then you could win the game. Big Felix Magath. It's Friday there.
My word.
Yes. Felix. Don't get your Felixes mixed up. Vish, he never appeared in as a character in a James Bond film.
Okay. Felix Magath.
11.
11 clubs.
Yeah, what a man.
What a man indeed.
Loves his cheese.
Yeah, and he's forcing players to run. Okay. Going to have to be quite conservative on this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go three.
Three?
Yeah.
I think that's not a bad bid at all, actually. Vish, can I hear more than three for you? Vish?
You're 2-0 down.
No, go, Jim, take it. That's fine.
Okay. Jim, for the win, can you name three of the 11 sides Felix Magath has managed?
Okay. Fulham. Wolfsburg.
Schalke.
Jim Campbell wins! Flawless victory!
And it was a flawless victory.
Pick a German team and he'll have managed them. That
was
the plan
there.
Yes,
did he manage Hertha Berlin?
He did.
I would have got that.
He's currently there. He's currently there.
That's it, right.
Yeah, exactly. Hamburg, Nuremberg, Werder Bremen, Eintracht Frankfurt, Stuttgart, Bayern Munich.
Werder Bremen were another guess I was going to go for. I thought surely not Bayern, but evidently, yeah.
He was there for a few years. Wolfsburg, Schalke, back to Wolfsburg, Fulham, of course.
God, that is the epitome of pick any team, isn't it?
It was Shandong, Lunyang, everyone has a go, and back at Hertha recently, got a job there. So 3-0, what a win for Jim.
Yeah.
Vish's love affair of Marcus's game doesn't carry on, I'm afraid. We've got two more. Vish, do you want to have a little consolation?
Go on then.
Yeah. This man has managed eight sides. It is Dave Bassett.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No need to blaspheme.
Dave Bassett.
Yeah, big Dave.
David.
You have lost the game. Just say a number.
Oh, three.
Three, okay. Jim?
Yeah, go on then. Have a go. Have a go, Vish.
Have a little go. Have a little spin.
Then I'm Bradford.
You're throwing the towel in again, aren't you?
No, it's You're just whatever.
You knew he'd managed Wimbledon.
This is the Ronaldo.
I had Wimbledon.
Comes back to United. They all get pissed.
No, I had Wimbledon, but I figured I've got to get the hard one out of the way first. So I got my guess out of the way.
Wimbledon, Watford, Sheffield United, Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest, Barnsley, Leicester City, and Southampton. There we are.
Yeah, I mean, I had three of those two. Two of those three.
Yeah, there you go. Jim, let's round it off. Five teams. Brian Robson.
Okay. Brian Robson.
What you got, eh? Have a little bid.
I'm going to have a little bid.
Have a little spinsies.
Little bidsies.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have a little think first.
Well, enough of that. There's people listening to this.
Enough of that.
Yeah, come on.
All right, well, because you're rushing me, I'm going to go two.
Two, Vish.
I might as well do three.
Yeah, you know he's going to get one of them wrong, don't you, Jim?
Yeah,
okay.
Probably.
Vish, name three teams that Brian Robson's managed.
Middlesbrough, West Brom.
Just one more.
One more. Are they around that area?
Just one more. You can't ask him.
In the Midlands? Why can't I ask him?
He's impartial.
I didn't hear that comment, fortunately.
I said, you're my friend.
Oh, really? That's the first time you've ever said that. Usually it's denial. Come on.
Where else would he have managed, Jim, if you're going to guess?
Just say the bloody thing so we can all have a weekend.
I don't know. Jakarta.
Jakarta, that's just a city.
Yeah, Jakarta FC.
That's wrong. He's managed Bradford City.
Fucking hell.
Sheffield United. And if you'd have thought about it a little bit more, rather than just naming a city in that region, Thailand.
Oh, mate. Watching the game, it didn't seem like a 5-0, did it?
Jim Campbell wins!
I know, but I think when they blew for kickoff and I strapped myself to the post, I think it was... Right, it was on the wall from then, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. Right, it was on the wall. Really oh, was. Dear. Well, that, yeah. What a way to sort
This
of...
has got to be the last time we play Marcus's game, surely.
Really?
It's a nonsense.
Run out.
It's an utter nonsense.
I'll decide.
You won't though, will you?
I will, won't I?
Shambles. Why do we do name the protester? What was he protesting and where?
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betway, everybody. Sorry about the child in the corner over there ripping up his paper, trying to sell that on eBay later, I'd imagine. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Call me A.H. Checker, actually.
Thank you very much, Vatusna Hansarani.
Call me Chancellor.
I'll just go with Bellend. And thank you very much, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. The weekend
Don't
is officially
go out. You're
open.
Not allowed out. Stay indoors.
We'll see you in the bar.
Be miserable.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.